I'm Carson Sestouli of Fangraphs.com, and this is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast, brought to you by Homestand Sports. Yes, it is the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast. I'm one of the hosts, Carson Sestouli. I'm the host who's here every week, with whom you grow weary. But fortunately for everyone's benefit, I bring in a fresh, or mostly fresh, new face. In this particular case, that face belongs to Meg Rowley, who's the managing editor of Hardball Times and also a contributor. Generally a useful cog in the machine that is Fangraphs.com. Hello, Meg.
Hello.
Hello. You are a beloved cog.
I'm such a good cog.
The fact that you have to be a cog at all, I apologize. Yeah. Meg, you are here because Dave Cameron is not. Dave Cameron has entered, as I've described it, the even more private sector. Fangraphs, of course, at least produces, as a private company, produces public-facing content. Dave Cameron is producing all sorts of analysis now, one assumes, but he's doing it only for the eyes of other members of the San Diego Padres. He is hoarding all the analysis for himself. So this year, we're having an array of co-hosts on the Pitch Talk Blue Jays podcast, and you're one of them, and you are worthy, perhaps more worthy than anyone who's appeared thus far.
Oh, my.
Yeah. what we plan to do here is, by order and decree of Kevin Kennedy, who's the boss of Homeland Sports, is simply to provide for the Toronto Blue Jays the same sort of analysis we provide for every team at Fangraphs.com, but especially for the Blue Jays here. Just to provide, I guess, another voice, another objective voice on the Toronto Blue Jays. We're going to do that momentarily, but of course, before we do that each week, what we do is we pay homage to our patron. Again, that's Homestand Sports. Homestand Sports, of course, sponsor of the Pitch Talks events. It is both my privilege and also my obligation to announce that there is a Pitch Talks event this very week, Thursday, April 5th, in Toronto, Canada, at the Royal Cinema, which I understand is quite a nice venue. It's the Mark Shapiro Town Hall. Mark Shapiro, president, CEO, dark overlord of the Toronto Blue Jays, will be there to field as few questions as possible, as he can make possible, from the people, so that he does not reveal too much about the Toronto Blue Jays. However, also there will be a number of people, including the host of this very program, Carson Sestouli, and also people who are more qualified to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. That is, as I say, the Mark Shapiro Town Hall at the Royal Cinema, Thursday, April 5th, 7 to 10 p.m. Tickets available by going to homestandsports.com. Now, Meg, you have been to a Pitch Talks event. How would you characterize such a thing?
I'm a little jealous that you get to do one this week, honestly. They're a lot of fun. I mean, we did one in Seattle last summer with a number of people on the Fangraphs side and some local beat writers and Dave before he fled to the warm embrace of the Padres. And, you know, they're nice. They're a lot of fun. You just get people who like baseball together, and they spend the evening talking about baseball and drinking beer and generally having a good time. So I'm excited.
Yeah,
for you.
The part where one is allowed to imbibe spirits while mm-hmm. talking baseball, I think, I've been to these sort of events before where there is some research being discussed, and it's great. But, including some sort of fermented beverage along the way, it doesn't seem to hurt anyone, unless, of course, someone decides not to drink, and that's also fine. That's also fine.
Yeah. I think two beers, one mm-hmm. before you go on stage, not like immediately before, sipped over a period of time that is respectable and perhaps taken with food, and then one to have on stage with you to sip while you are talking about baseball and trying to get Mark Shapiro to answer some questions. That's a nice evening.
Yeah, so that's a great evening, and hopefully we have one of those great evenings this Thursday in Toronto, Canada, between 7 and 10 p.m. at the Royal Cinema with Mark Shapiro and friends. They may not be his friends, actually, I'm just saying that. Here's a general structure of what's to follow. I would say we'll begin by taking a look at the week that has been, or I suppose half week that has been since opening day. consider a topic of interest, and then look ahead. In terms of looking backwards, you were not here. Travis Sochik was. we discussed the very difficult week that the Blue Jays had of them because they were facing a Yankees team that's very talented, had a terrifying lineup, one that includes last year's NL MVP, last year's runner-up for the AL MVP, and that none of that includes Gary Sanchez, who's also probably the best power hitting catcher in the league. Has also well acquitted by the new catcher related metrics that are appearing at Baseball Savant in terms of pop time, arm speed, that kind of thing. However, the Blue Jays have come out of it 2-2 after losing the first two games. They won Marcus Estrada and Marcus Stroman's starts, and I am able to tell you, Meg Rally, that according to the projections at Fangraphs.com, the team now has a 37% chance of making the playoffs, which is actually up nearly 3 percentage points from the start of season, according to our methodology.
Yeah.
In terms of individual performances, who's played particularly well, who hasn't, on the offensive side, perhaps not shockingly, Justin Smoke came away with the best batting line, most wins above replacement, this was not very surprising. He hit a grand slam, and that's to some degree single-handedly won their final game against the Yankees. Actually, you're in an interesting position to shed some light on the person who was Justin Smoke. Travis Sochik was last week, in fact, because Travis Sochik had spoke with him about his breakout. You saw lots of pre-breakout Justin Smoke.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could actually comment, I suppose, what do you sense was... Can you talk about that gap between kind of what was hoped for Justin Smoke and what was?
Well, the hope was, I don't know if you ever ended up seeing this, but, you know, the Mariners do their commercials that they're somewhat famous for. They do these funny commercials before the season starts. And I think that when Smoke was brought on board, his commercial was him basically picking up a whole tree, like a giant tree out in the forest, and using it to hit the baseball very, very far. And then in his time in Seattle, that power just didn't really materialize in any meaningful way. So he was this sort of, you know, he had, as fans, had very high expectations for him and his bat, but he really didn't do what we thought he would. I mean, he had one year, I guess 2013, where he was sort of, you know, a 112 WRC plus hitter. Yeah, like it was fine. And he's a competent defensive first baseman, which is damning with the very faintest of praise. But, you know, it wasn't much to write home about. You know, you look at his Mariners times, and if I do a little look on Fangraphs.com here, you know, like a 162 ISO, 147 ISO, we got that 174 year, but then
right, you know, league average tends to be has been, I should say, in like the 140 160 range, and it's skewed higher in recent years,
right, and probably skewed higher than that too for folks in his position. And then, you know, things really seemed to change for him, particularly last year. So I'm happy for him. You know, he always seemed like a nice enough guy. The expectation was that he was going to come in with this like amazing blistering bat and do all sorts of great, wonderful things, and finally take the Mariners to the postseason, and that didn't happen. Although, in Justin's defense, he was hardly the only disappointment in that era of Mariners baseball, and was probably not the most severe one. So, good on him.
Yeah, good on him for that. I suppose, right, so if we were to characterize it very briefly, it would be a player who was thought to have perhaps greater physical talents than he was exhibiting. Maybe not fully tapped into, in particular, his raw power.
Correct.
And who managed, and he discussed this with Travis Sochik, who had managed essentially by way of a different approach. In fact, trying to hit home runs less often, it actually had the reverse effect for him.
Yeah.
And he had two of those home runs over the first four games against the Yankees. That worked out well for him. One other thing on the offensive side that has already been revealed, I suppose, for the Blue Jays is the importance of some of the moves that Shapiro and company made this offseason. Last offseason, obviously, Troy Tulowitzki was out with injury. Josh Donaldson was out with injury. And replacing those two was a sort of rotating cast of somewhat underwhelming players. The acquisitions this offseason, both of Aledmys Diaz and Yandrivas Solarte, while somewhat, you know, they were not like headline moves, but these are players who have put up average seasons somewhat recently, and they became really important immediately, right? Because Tulowitzki is going to be out for some time because of none of his feet work. I think that was, that's the basic one. Bone spurs in both ankles, I believe, both feet. He's going to be out for a while. So Diaz immediately was put to work at shortstop. And then Josh Donaldson is dealing with, I think it's a dead arm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
I think that is how it was characterized.
Right. Death in this particular case. It's not something you want to visit any of your limbs, especially the one you use for throwing if you're a third baseman. So he's DHing primarily now, while Yandrivas Solarte, who made a great defensive play, third, throwing out a Yankees runner at home plate while he was actually playing back. And he himself has also hit a home run. So if there's any positives from these injuries, it's that the depth of this Blue Jays team already appears to be a little bit more substantive than last year's. That is on the hitting side. And the pitching side, I suppose maybe a little bit of disappointment from Aaron Sanchez's return. Sanchez is a bit mercurial in the sense that he has amazing arm speed, you know, excellent arm speed, excellent physical talent, but has not always been able to miss bats and didn't a lot. And I think what was his first game since the middle of last year because of all the injuries with which he'd contended. Marco Estrada's start was actually the one that kind of came out worst. The where they currently rank, the two sides, the hitters came out right in the middle. They came out 16th in the major leagues in terms of positional player war. The pitchers were actually much lower than that, 26th. As you sort of mentioned, in terms of missing bats, at least on the starting side of things, it's kind of Marcus Stroman and then everyone else.
Yeah.
And
which is concerning.
Yeah, despite the fact that he did allow runs, Stroman's start actually was quite promising. He struck out a bunch of people.
Yeah.
He has the capacity to do that. And he also has the capacity, when guys are making contact, to get that contact on the ground. So,
yes.
Not surprisingly, Marcus Stroman's good and appears as though he will be good for some time. I mentioned that the projections, Meg Rally, have improved slightly since the beginning of the season. Of course, it's only four games, but not too early to count. I want to talk to you about a couple of ways that the projections, or a couple, maybe some foils to those projections. There have been two sort of projects. One of them was spearheaded by you, and that was to get the staff predictions for Fangraphs writers, right?
That's correct.
We differentiate very clearly between projections. These are sort of things that are, in which an algorithm is used on extant data to produce numbers that are not really altered by humans at all. Predictions are a very different thing. This is a human saying, I think this will happen and not this other thing. The projections, as we say, are somewhat optimistic about the Blue Jays. The predictions by the staff were not as much. What did the results say, I guess, about the American League, AL East specific?
Yeah, so it's a funny thing, because I think when we took the when we did this, the Blue Jays were projected to win 86 games, which was good for the second wild card spot in the AL. Unsurprisingly, that top wild card spot is currently being occupied by either the Yankees or the Red Sox, whichever one doesn't manage to win the division. And so you would think that with that kind of a projection, which is fairly optimistic, that you would see some support among the staff. But of the 40 some odd folks who voted in this, only five had Toronto going to the postseason at all in that second wild card spot. But pretty out of sync to where the projections see them as being at the end of the year. And that was pretty in line with the response that Jeff Sullivan got when he polled our readers to see sort of what their impressions were of our projections, where, you know, a very striking number of folks, 56% said that those projections were high by somewhere between 2 to 4 wins, and a full 21% thought that they were high by more than 4 wins. So there isn't a ton of optimism around that team, despite the fact that, you know, at least on paper, we expect that they'll be good enough to make the playoffs this year. So I was a bit surprised that I did not pick them myself to make the postseason, but I was surprised that the vote was so resounding among everyone at Fangraphs and among our readers.
I'm going to ask you to engage in an exercise which will make you and also everyone else uncomfortable, which is to speculate wildly on human nature. As you said, our staff didn't despite the existence of these projections, the staff was not particularly optimistic about the Blue Jays. Fangraphs readers, I think, like, you know, once it was suggested by Sullivan, the readers were most pessimistic, or more pessimistic of the Blue Jays relative to the projections than any other club.
Yeah.
I think he figured out something by an order of less, you know, more than 2 wins, less than the projections originally suggested. Do you have a sense? So this is the part where I'm asking you to do something that might make everyone uncomfortable. Do you have a sense of why? I suppose what could it be about the way that this Blue Jays team is constructed, personnel, or the way it's managed, etc., that you think might give people who watch baseball, who understand baseball to some degree, might make them more pessimistic about it than the sort of numbers which are in some way very smart and another way very dumb.
Sure. I think if you look at our depth charts and sort of how we're projecting the Blue Jays to perform, I think I can understand why folks were maybe given pause by some of the numbers we were putting up. I mean, our projections essentially expect not quite MVP level season from Josh Donaldson, but a very good season from Josh Donaldson. And I think people, especially now, although they were not necessarily aware of this at the time of the polling, might look at something like his dead arm and worry about his ability to produce at the level that we have him at, and, you know, potentially to play as much as he would need to in order to put up, I think we have him at almost 6 wins all on his own. So I think that's concerning to folks. We expect an awful lot out of Kevin Pillar. He's projected for an almost 3-win season after last year, you know, putting up close to 2 wins, but I think maybe folks are a bit concerned about him underperforming, fairly run-of-the-mill projection, I suppose. And then the pitching staff is, I think, concerning for some of the reasons that you highlighted, which is that you don't have a lot of guys who are getting necessarily terrific swing and miss and missing a bunch of bats. So I think that when you couple those things with some of the folks in their core who are aging, like, you know, Russell Martin's getting up there, we never know health-wise what you're going to get from Devin Travis because he's been sort of plagued by injuries for quite some time now. And then, you know, maybe you look at Justin Smoke and expect that he might put up something in between what he did last year and what he's done historically, and Tulo's hurt. So you can kind of build your way towards skepticism. And I think that especially when teams have folks who are aging, every team has folks who are aging, but folks who are not considered young in baseball years, you start to lean into that skepticism a bit, especially in an AL field that has some other teams that show quite a bit of promise for wildcard contention. So that would be what I expect it is.
No, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, on the one hand, you're right. There's sort of two prongs to the aging. On the one hand, you have the potential for injury, mm-hmm. which is probably more likely to be accounted for by the projections.
Sure.
You know, there's generally some accommodation for you know, past plate appearances and then mm-hmm. adding on, you know, another year of aging. But in terms of how the human mind might perceive it, there might be an even greater chance for risk of injury is figured in there. And I think it's general, too. There's sort of like what produces enthusiasm in our dumb minds, right? And it's typically like, you know, and this is like the great, I mean, this is the quality that basically everyone loves about a rookie is that the slate is entirely clean and anything, like anything could happen. The possible outcomes are, you know, wildly varied. And what, you know, a number of those possible outcomes, perhaps our dumb minds make the mistake of like being the best player is one of the outcomes we consider too strongly. And the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays have an older team. There are a lot of known quantities, and therefore, it is there's not quite this opportunity to regard them with the same sort of positive variance, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, I think that that's right.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Donaldson is really good. We know that.
Yeah.
And, like, and he, even he is probably, like, the youngest, like, the most interesting of the young players. Like, Pilar, is you, whom you noted, is this very strange player, too, because so much of his value is tied up in defense.
Right.
And I guess it requires also a certain amount of, like, real belief in the defensive metrics because he's the projections are very excited about him for that reason.
Right.
And then the pitching staff, yeah. Like, there are, like, there's Aaron Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Stroman is very exciting. But, like, Jay Happ and Marco Estrada are two pitchers who, like, essentially survived off of guile. They've both had moments where they miss bats, and Marco Estrada in recent years has been a guy who's, like, who beats his fielding independent numbers by quite a bit. But they're not, like, I mean, especially, like, in this new era of velocity. I mean, I haven't bothered to look at the rankings, but I have to assume that they are among you know, say the bottom quintile in terms of average fastball velocity.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, and it's not just them. It's like they also have like Jaime Garcia,
Tyler. Another sort of pitcher like that, right?
Right.
Who's just been around, and he's like pretty actually fine when he's
And he's I think we as a community sometimes undervalue that, like, being fine and a little better than league average for, you know, 150 innings. It's not without value. Mm-hmm. It's good to have that stuff, but I don't think that anyone who's looking at a team who's, like, you know, fielding Jaime Garcia and whose bullpen seems like it has Tyler Clippard in it is going to look at it and say, these ones, they're going to burn it down. But, you know, they might. Because as you noted, there are players on this team that who are very, very good, and they probably have some upside to outperform the projections, just like they have downside to underperform them. So I think we were maybe a bit hard on the Blue Jays, even though I think, you know, any one individual can defend the decision not to vote for them. In aggregate, we probably are being a little too bearish on them, perhaps.
If you're looking for bullish projections for the Toronto Blue Jays, all you have to do is look ahead at the next three games.
Yeah.
if you look at the, now, this is the point of the program. Perhaps when we look ahead, the week ahead, their next series is actually starts tonight in Toronto against the White Sox. Against a White Sox team. It's a very young White Sox team. They are, of course, deep in the middle of their own sort of rebuild. The projected win probabilities against the White Sox in each of the three games are roughly between 65% and 70%. So this would be a great opportunity for the White Sox to take. I mean, they're basically projected to win two out of three games.
Mm-hmm.
They will be facing Reynaldo Lopez, Miguel Gonzalez, and Carson Fulmer. Miguel Gonzalez, again, if you want to talk about known quantities, like we said, you know, with regard to some of the players on the Blue Jays, Miguel Gonzalez is one of them. He's been fine. That's what you can say about Miguel Gonzalez. And again, being fine is, you know, it's a skill.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a desirable one. He does not have an electric arm. Reynaldo Lopez, however, was a player whom they acquired in the Nationals deal. Carson Fulmer was a former first-round draft pick out of Vanderbilt. Both players throw hard, but both players also probably. Well, I know that Ryan Watt recently wrote for Fangraphs that the White Sox rotation features the largest variance of possible outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those teams. Anyway, it's an opportunity, at least to see those arms. The White Sox offense, though, I don't know. If pressed, do you think you can name all nine members that are starting lineup?
I have their depth chart open, so yes, but I would be cheating. Mm-hmm. I could have named several members without cheating. Mm-hmm. Wellington Castillo at catcher, mm-hmm. and Jose Abreu, mm-hmm. and of course Yoan Moncada.
Okay, so Yoan Moncada is like one example. Now, we talked about on the pitching side for them. There's Reynaldo Lopez, again, came over from Eden. Carson Fulmer, another. They also have Lucas Giolito, mm-hmm. who the Blue Jays will not see in this series, but you know, potentially at some series in the future. So there's a lot of talent on the pitching side. In terms of talent on the batting side, young talent on the batting side, I suppose most of it, if I'm not mistaken, is sort of up the middle right now for the White Sox.
Yeah. Yeah, they have Moncada, they have Tim Anderson, who they're good things from.
And then they have sort of a strange player in Adam Engel, who is gifted in terms of foot speed. In fact, our prospect writer, Eric Longenaim, gave him an 80, which is the hardest you can, that's the fastest you can be. But a lot of swing and miss in Adam Engel's game.
A lot of swing and miss. Although the White Sox are currently fielding one of the best designated hitters in baseball in, weirdly, Matt Davidson. So.
Right, yeah. Matt Davidson, of course, hit three opening day home runs, has already recorded, I think, three or four batted balls now, higher than his highest one last year when power wasn't really a problem for him already.
Yeah.
Still, Matt Davidson has a capacity to make contact. There's going to be a lot of swinging and missing.
Yes.
In the series to come.
Yes.
That series will be followed by one against the Rangers. And now you, of course, as someone who's followed the Mariners with some interest, have followed the arc of the Rangers. They've had some seasons where they've outperformed, I guess, what you could, you know, like their base run standing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Last year was not necessarily one of them.
No.
They're getting a bit creaky, I think, Rangers team.
They are getting creaky. It's weird to think, because they do have a number of players who are quite young still, some of whom are not yet up with the Major League club. They're doing their little stint in the minors to start the year. But, like, you know, Nomar Mazara is really young. But mm-hmm. they also, and like, Elvis Andrus isn't old. And Ruvnud Odor is quite young, although that has not precluded him from being at times, like, just dramatically bad at baseball. So, they are getting older, you know, and not just because Adrian Beltre sort of brings up the average. And the pitching is... you know, it's not great.
The Blue Jays will see in this particular series, you see Matt Moore.
Who is on the Rangers.
Who's on the Rangers.
You may not have known.
he's had like a couple of peaks in his career, but neither of them seem to be occurring right at the moment.
No, they're not recent.
Right, and then it will be... after him will be Mike Minor, who is a very interesting pitcher, signed by the Rangers this offseason after he returned and pitched for the Royals excellently in relief. And then Cole Hamels, who is another so actually three left-handers mm-hmm. During the course of this series. And Hamels is a pitcher whose skills have kind of, I guess, would decline predictably according to age, right?
Yeah. It's happened pretty quickly. Or maybe it just feels that way. I think one thing that has sort of plagued Hamels in recent years and seems to, I mean, granted, it's been one start, so who knows, but has seemed to stick with him as a problem so far in this young 2018 season is he's just walking a bunch of guys. So you're seeing him have to pitch a bunch of sort of high stress innings and not having particularly sterling fastball command. You know, he is not, I think, a comfortable at bat for anyone, but I think it is a considerably more comfortable at bat than it has been in years prior. So it'll sort of depend what version of Cole Hamels they get, but there might be some opportunity there, even if he is the frontline starter for the Rangers.
Yeah. Well, that is the week ahead for the Toronto Blue Jays. And having uttered those words, I believe it also brings us to the end of this edition of the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast. Your obligation has been fulfilled, Meg Rowley.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, all right. I will say thank you to you right away. And allow me to say the following words as well. That has been Meg Rowley, Managing Editor of the Hardball Times, contributor to Fangraphs.com. I'm Carson Cestulli, and this has been the Pitch Talks Blue Jays podcast.